Hello, and welcome to another episode of Scavenger Life. This is episode number 196 at scavengerlife.com. And we are currently on the road.
That's right. We do this sometimes, and those of you that listen know about this part of our life. We still do some other work every now and again. We freelance our career jobs.
Yes.
We still kind of keep our toe in that. It's water. So we're on a... basically with like a 10-day, 10-night trip.
Yep.
And because we live in the country, we live about 2 hours from the closest kind of big airport.
Yes.
And our flight tomorrow is at 9
a.m.
So, you know, because of who we are, we're like, let's just get a little hotel next to the airport, get there a day early. And
yeah,
so we can just wake up and just like get to the airport really easy instead of like wake up at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, God.
Make that trip.
Yeah.
So this is another good thing about being a scavenger. And, of course, the way we do it is we had a free hotel room because we had a...
On hotels.com, if you do 10 nights...
They give you one free.
They give you one free. So we had, you know, kept 10 nights, you know, in a year, I guess. So
it's cool. But this, this definitely, you know, flows with the lifestyle of, like, not a lot of stress. Like,
yes,
if we're going to have to work and travel, let's do it in a nice way.
Yeah, because we found that driving that 2 hours really early is just not fun.
Yep.
At all.
But anyway, we want to, of course, welcome all of you little trash elves out there.
That's so silly. Like, I just see people with the
little
hat
trash elves
and, like, the little shoes.
But really, they're, like, grown, educated adults, and we're sitting there calling them little trash elves. But
yeah, it's weird.
How about this? I'm a little trash elf, that's for
right,
sure.
Right, exactly.
But anyway, we hope that you're either photographing or listing or packing right now. You know, that really, we love that idea that we can help people kind of like push through. Maybe there's a pile that you've been putting off, and maybe this podcast for the next hour or so, you can use us, our inspiration, to kind of push through all that stuff.
Yes.
So this week, I wanted to talk about kind of like continuing from it last week, you know, like,
yeah.
Ryan's is laughing because, you know, she knows I'm about to ask her a kind of a silly question, but this is the kind of question I love to ask.
And that is what?
Ryan,
yes.
Do you ever think about what the last moment of your life is going to be like on your deathbed?
I try, honestly, not to think about that, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You don't think about, like...
like, what will the last
like,
moment be like?
I mean, it's kind of like, what is all this for? And, like, you know...
Yeah.
That's the inevitable thing. I mean, I know some people, they like to think about, like, their eternal life, like... Am I going to be in damnation or heaven? I don't really think about that kind of thing. That's a little past my pay grade. But, you know, I just think about, you know, it's going to happen to all of us.
Right. So, yes.
The very, you know, we're all going to have that moment where you're going to be dead.
Right.
And there's going to be maybe a last conscious thought, you know? And
right.
And the reason why I bring this up now is that I tie that into our scavenging life. I mean, that's why we do this podcast and talk about a lifestyle, because
yes,
I want to have a moment, that last moment, be like, I did what I wanted.
Right.
You know, I wasn't like working for someone else or feel like I wasted my time. Like, you
yep
know.
No, I think if you put it that way, I'm not like sitting here thinking of my last moment of life. That's a little bit extreme.
Like, maybe you'll think of a pair of shoes that...
Yeah, right. Remember that one pair of boots that sold for $900? That was great.
I mean, you know,
yes,
when I talk about this, and I know some people listening, they write and they talk about, you know, they're taking care of their mom or dad or
right
at the end of their life. I mean, this isn't morbid. This is just reality.
It's reality.
And I feel like Americans especially need to get much better at discussing this stuff because it is a reality.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So, like, my mom, she died 4 years ago, and I was there
right
when she died. I mean,
right,
like, the last bit. And that was really... You know, we talk about it like it's a Hallmark card about, you know, like, life is special and, you know, all this stuff. But, I mean, that really did bring home to me, like, my mom had lived this whole life, but really at the end, like everything kind of disappeared, and it was just her and the end of her life, and that was it. And like, you know, any kind of like issues I had with her or anger or problems any of us had had, it really all just dissolved, and you just saw a human being just like kind of like, you know, go out of this life. And so,
I mean, it's like, it's almost like her life was just like concentrated in this last moment. It was like, this is it. What did you do?
Right. Like, you know? And so that's what I think about. Like,
it's absolutely. Almost,
and again, this is not a morbid thing. I feel like actually excited about it in the sense of, because I'm aware of it, is like, what am I doing to prepare for that?
Right.
You know? Because like, what am I going to bring to that table? And that's like, you know, I try and be good to people.
Right.
I try and like, every day that I have, I try and make it be something that, you know, I'm not unhappy.
Yes, exactly.
I try and surround myself with people like you.
Oh, that is like a Hallmark
card. People on this podcast, you know, like try and get people into It's My Life who I enjoy.
Well, I think what it has to do with is, like we say, with our lifestyle and what we hear from people all the time when they call with voicemails or emails, where they're like, I just want my time. I want to be with my family. I want to, you know, not have a commute. I want to be productive, you know? And so those are the things that we're always pushing towards, is like, yes, fulfilling your time is fulfilling.
Yep. And, you know, like, this, you know, again, ties on to what we're talking about is last week, where I was trying to break down in numbers, like, you know, how much we make every week, and then how much, if you were to compare that to us each having a full-time job.
Right, right.
I mean, we don't really make, I mean, both of us are kind of in the prime earning potential of our lives, and we're really not making as much as we would if we had a regular job. But what we're talking about today, though, is like what we get in return, you know, like,
So it's like that user on our blog, Amazing Taste. We actually interviewed her, and we're going to post that soon.
Her husband quit his job, and they worked together. And they said that, you know, what makes her feel so happy is that her husband can be at home with her, and they can spend time with their kids.
Right.
Like, just
that's important.
Like, their kids come home from school
and they're there.
Both of the parents are there, and they can like tell jokes and like hang out, and like that really is amazing, you know. But you know, so I don't know. I mean, you know, again, everyone knows I like to get it's, you know, really deep and
philosophical.
It's philosophical about this stuff.
You certainly do.
It's just because a lot of the other thing, you know, a lot of people that I hear talk about this stuff online, it's more about like getting rich. And I'm just always just like, to us, it's not about, I like it, it's money for sure.
Yeah.
But it's not purely about the money. It's about, I mean, that's why we're willing to give up potential careers and, you know, salaries and all the benefits that go along into with that to sell old shoes, because we have this other thing.
Right, exactly. And also, it's not about the money. It's about what you want to do with the money that you're making.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like, let's be rich. Well, why do you want to be rich? Because you want to own property. You want to own other businesses. You want, like, really think it through here.
And
you
it
want
really,
a nice
I
car.
Mean, it really is about, like, I just think, you know, I'm thinking about it right now. Okay, I'm just imagining it. I'm in this bed, and hopefully I'm really old.
Oh, God, we're going to get a visualization here.
I'm having
here.
Difficulty breathing. I'm going like this.
And I'm like this. Snap out of it, Jay.
And, you know, I just, you know, and I'm just thinking back to It's My Life, and I'm thinking about, like, this moment. I'm thinking about what we're going to do tonight, and just, and I'm just, and I just want to think, like, it's cool. Like, I have no regrets.
Yep.
Like, I lived the life I wanted to live, rather than, like, okay, I'm doing this right now. I don't like it. It's a pain in the ass, but, you know, I gotta sacrifice.
Yep.
And I get it. We all have to sacrifice. I've had these moments, but, you know, we've worked to have a life where we don't have to be feeling like we're sacrificing.
You know? And we still, like, continue to do it. It's not like every single day is like, oh, it's perfect. But well, I guess what I'm saying is, like,
no, it's sure. Right.
You know, I feel like For example, we're going to Los Angeles to do this big job, and we enjoy the people we work with. We love the work. Like, I think it's a great job. But more and more, I feel very pulled to, like, yeah, we have our eBay business. We have our rental business. I'm like, I feel okay if we were just at home this month, yep. you know, this 2 weeks. Like, yep. really plugging away at our businesses.
Like, it would have been never did another right. job in our career ever again.
I know, it's kind of, it's a weird feeling. It right. really is, like.
I mean, it really would be cutting the umbilical cord.
Yeah, know, it's tough.
Where, because, you know, I know when we started on eBay, we very much were still doing other work because we wanted to feel like, well, if eBay didn't work out, we could always
bounce back, yeah.
jump back in,
yeah.
you know, write up a resume and still have a work history
right.
and not have this big, like
you know, gap.
5 year gap
where yeah, we exactly.
didn't do anything. And they're like, what'd you do? And I'm like, well, I was a trash elf.
Yeah, exactly. But
I mean, now I feel like we're almost at the edge of where, like, there's no turning back.
Yeah.
It's like this and good riddance.
You yeah. know? But we'll see what happens. I still like to travel, and I like other people that pay for travel, and that's a big bonus, you know. But yeah. but I do, like, I really felt it today. We were packing. We were getting ready. There's always the nervousness of, like, did I get all my, you know, electronics gear? Did I get all my hard drives? You know? And, yeah, it feels like there's a pull towards, you know, being at home and working at home.
You know what, you've never really seemed, or I've never noticed it, you've never seemed like you've struggled with doing eBay for a living and that's all that it we do.
You mean, you don't think I've struggled with the idea of that?
Of, like, the identity. I think, for me, I definitely have struggled, especially in the when it was started, of having that as my identity.
Right. You know? Well, there's like, I mean, we always talk about this. There's a stigma when you tell people, yeah, I buy stuff and sell it on eBay. I mean, people, they glaze over. They're just like, right. huh. And they don't ask you any questions. They're just like, that sounds, like, ridiculous and not real.
But, I mean, you know, again,
so, yeah.
I'm going to say this because, and I don't mind sounding like a fool, okay? So, and it might just be how I grew up. You know, I went to the school and they teach you to, like, be a professional. And,
yeah.
you know, you're going to have this career. And I feel like that was always what I was trained, you know, like that mm-hmm, was like mm-hmm. the training I was as given. And even it's my parents, you know, you have this, you know, and they instill in you, like, you got to do good and
yeah.
work for this company or whatever.
Yeah, but
and,
okay.
And so when we started selling eBay, it's like, that script is, that's just
yeah,
like, that script is not happening.
Forget it.
Like, you know, I don't have, I'm not going to have the business card where I'm a vice president or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
Or a doctor
well,
or an
but
engineer.
So the other thing too is,
I mean, has that ever?
No, I did not come from that background.
Gotcha.
None of my schools. I was trained to be professional in a creative way.
Sure.
So for me, that is like
so
very
it doesn't
different.
Ever, okay, so let's come from your point of view. You aren't ever like, huh, I was trained as a video editor and, like, I should be editing, like, a Hollywood movie.
No,
and so now
no.
I'm sad.
You know why? Because early on in my career, I went to Hollywood. I
yeah.
went to L.A. I interviewed other, you know, editors that were friends with editors of mine in Boston, blah, blah, blah. I met friends that I knew from school that were editing out there. And I was like, this is not for me. I don't want to work in the industry.
Right.
I don't want to edit reality TV shows.
Right.
This is like in 2002. I'm just like, no.
So basically, when I met you at 25, I think
yeah, 25, I was 25,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you were good to go. You were like, okay.
I wasn't good to go, but I didn't care if what I did was make a living
yep.
on a laptop in
good.
My bedroom.
Look.
That did not seem weird to me.
Look, I love that. And it just means that you're a stronger person.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just we came from different backgrounds,
yep.
but we came together and agreed on that.
Yep.
Making a living on a laptop in your bedroom is fine.
Yep.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. But I understand you still have that stigma.
No.
Or you did.
I did. And I'm telling you, over the past, so we started in 2008 during this. It's 2015. Yeah. You know, definitely in the past several years, it's gone. Like,
it's way gone.
And it's what I mean about, like, you know, because I'm always doing that. I'm driving the car. I'm thinking, okay, I'm on. It's my deathbed. What do I feel bad about? I don't feel bad about any of, like, not having a career or anything. I'm like, yes, I'm all about, like, I was a trash shelf and we had little businesses and we had cabins and, like, this is great.
Yeah. I mean, the level of stress and the level of just, like,
oh my God,
you know, there's different, like, life stresses, but it's not compared to, like, reporting to a boss.
Right. So I'm a little bit older than you. So I remember, you know, a good amount of my 20s and part of my, and older, I just think of being really stressed. Responsibilities, you know, having to show up, always acting like I have to, like, have a certain face on and, like, almost some armor on. I just think, like, God.
Right.
I mean, it almost makes me look at my father in a different way. Like, you know, I guess he had to do that for the family. And you're just like, God, I can't imagine feeling that not only in your 20s, but in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's a different world, you know? But then again, like, this is a whole other podcast to go into, but people like your dad and my parents, although my parents were basically freelancers, I mean, they had this idea of job security with tenure, with a pension. So, yeah, of course people were like, you know, okay, maybe their job sucked, but they have all this, like, safety net. We don't have that.
Yeah, I think it's a generational thing, too. I mean, it probably started in my generation, the Gen X generation.
Yeah.
Definitely. I never had a sense that a company would ever be a loyal to me, that, like, I could work somewhere forever.
So. Like, I remember one of my first internships in high school. I had an internship, like a paid internship, which is amazing now that I'm saying that. I would have lunch with this guy, just this, like, he was like 50 and he was just like always ate lunch at the same time as me.
He probably seemed just like ancient to you.
Oh my God. So he's 50, right? And he's like, I worked at this graphic design house for this big catalog company. If anyone remembers, it was called Potpourri, and it was in my hometown.
Finger Hut.
Yeah, it's basically like Finger Hut. So it was called Potpourri, and you just, like, buy crap through a catalog.
It's before eBay, right?
Yeah, before, exactly, right. It's before Amazon and stuff like that. So so this guy I would eat lunch with, and he was 50, and he still lived with his mom. I remember this. He still, which is whatever. It was cool. I don't care. But he was like, I'm 50 and I have worked here worked in the shipping department since I was 25.
He said that to you.
Yes. He had worked in the same place.
He was happy
for 25 years. I thought he was very depressing and sad, but I'm sure he felt fine. But it's just funny because I remember thinking, you know, I'm like, you know, 17 at the time, just like eating my lunch, like, wow, what? I'm like, I'll never work anywhere for 25 years. No way. It just doesn't exist. I mean, some places do, maybe, but for me, no way.
Well, also, there is a time in America that is no longer in existence and was not when I was coming up, that you could have not a lot of education. Like, you could get through high school and you could get a job pretty quickly.
Yep.
That was pretty well paying. And normally it was like in a factory or a plant or, you know, some kind of job that took some skill and you would learn that skill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that definitely does not exist.
Yeah.
I know in our small town, that's what our town was built on. There were several, like, plants, like a Wrangler plant.
There was a Wrangler plant.
There was, like, a tannery. And, you know, these are jobs that guys talked about. You know, they might have graduated high school and then they would graduate or, you know, and then they would get these jobs and they would get the equivalent of, like, you know, $20 an hour. One guy told us he was getting paid $14 in 1979, and it looked at the inflation
and it was
exchange.
And it was you know, so there's an inflation calculator online, which is hugely helpful for conversations like this. In 1979, I was getting paid $14 an hour, and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, that's a lot of money back then.
How much was it? Tell me.
$40 an hour.
Thank you. Yeah.
Just for what was the job that he was doing?
He worked in it was like a printing plant that printed like income tax forms.
Right.
You know.
So it's just like, you're like, $40 an hour as a, you know,
in those days,
kid right out of
those
high
days
school.
Obviously no longer exist in America. Yeah, really. Because a lot of that work has now been sent overseas.
So it's definitely different, but
I think that's why, again, I get excited when we get comments on the blog and you just hear people coming from the point of view that we're talking about now, where they're like, I had this shitty job.
Yeah.
And I started selling online, and now I quit my job, and I love it, you know?
Yep.
And it really is, it's like another voice in the wilderness, you know?
Yep, yep.
And it's really nice.
And the cool thing is, we are starting to hear that story more and more from the blog. Like, at first, we were like, oh, you know, we've heard of people like, oh, I sold on eBay, you know, and then I stopped, and now I'm starting again. But then to hear the people who are like, oh, I started listing, you know, a year ago. I'm selling enough to pay my bills, and one of us of my, you know, husband and wife team can quit our job. It's like,
well, that's
whoa.
That's the other thing that, you know, we hear a lot of people saying, like, yeah, I was selling in 1998 or, you know,
yeah, whenever.
10 years ago, but, you know, they never seem to make a lot of cash. And I can't tell if, was that more common than not, or is it just now... Like, is there more people buying so you can actually make a living, or are people just approaching it from a different angle?
Well, I also think it's eBay has changed. So there is the buy it now. So the auction is, you know, people still do auctions, but
it's interesting.
The buy it now for me is so much better because you can set the price and you can take an offer. You don't have to be like, well, it sold for $10.
I guess just my question is, I wonder when eBay was in those early days, were there a lot of people that made it a career? Or just no one assumed you could make it a career? And it was just assumed that it was just going to always be like
just a hobby,
a little income
stream. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question.
But anyway, so that's kind of like what we wanted to talk about this week. And that's kind of what, you know, I've been thinking of lately, and we have... Since we're about to go do our career job, like we were talking about it today, of like, you know, this is, you know, we aren't really going after its clients like we used to. The work we do now still is like with these old clients that we've had, and they like us. It's very comfortable.
Yeah, we like them.
But all these jobs eventually end because, you know, a leadership changes, and the new leadership, they want new, you know, contractors. And so this could end, and we wouldn't get any other more work, and we would be full-time trash elves.
Full-time.
Like, that would be all my business card.
Full-time.
Trash elf. You know? And when we would go to a party, we could no longer say, yeah, you know, we do video work and computers. We would say, no. I'm a trash.
Would we say that, though? That's my question. Because you brought that up today. You were like, if this job ends, you know, in the next year or whatever.
I could no longer, with a good conscience, say
that we did video work.
That we do video work and that we're, you know, we have. Because we still do that stuff, so it's still.
Yeah, it's still relevant.
But I couldn't say it anymore. We'd be like, yep.
That's the question. Would you say it? Would you tell people? Because their eyes just glaze over.
Yeah. So what? See, but
their eyes glaze over when we're like, let me tell you about what I do for video production on the internet. They're like, what? I don't know what you're saying. I'm like, okay.
Okay. So let's do the numbers for this week. So this is, we're doing this on Friday night, actually. We're trying to get this done a little early, edit on the plane.
Yeah, well, we're recording it early because we really have a lot happening.
So we still have a day and a half left in this week. So our number's going to be a little bit low that we're saying to Itchy now. But you can check the blog and we'll put the updated numbers.
Yeah, we'll adjust the numbers on the
text. So we've sold about 36 items as of right now.
As of Friday.
And we've made about $1,500.
Woo, that's so really, not bad.
So far, we made a little more than we did it last week. The week isn't over, but, you know. It's a good, solid number. Yeah. Our average price was about $42. You know,
good
not
average
bad.
Price.
If it's more than $30, hey, we're happy.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is one of those things where, like, and I see it on the blog, and I make this, it's a mistake too. I'm trying to catch, it's myself. You know, my instinct is like, yeah, it's kind of a slow week. But then I'm like, no, this is a normal
week.
I expect to make about this amount every week.
Right.
All summer long.
Yeah, right.
This is normal. This is the way it should be.
Yes.
It's only when the holidays come that it's like on steroids.
Right.
You know? So we all have to stop thinking that, you know, the holiday season is normal.
Yeah.
And this is really slow. No, this is normal, and the holiday season is crazy.
Right. It's bumped up. Let's just be okay with those numbers and not be like, it was slow. It's like $1,500 a week. You're mental if you think that's slow.
So we sold 9 items so far under $30. And we sold 10 over $50.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, good.
It's still always amazing to me because, like, you've been listing a lot over the past month or so.
Yeah.
Did you notice that there's a lot being listed under $30?
It just really depends on what the items are. I mean, it's like if I'm listing, you know, high-end stuff, no.
Right.
If I'm listing lots of, like, you know, little tchotchkes, I'm like, this is not worth more than
$25. I can't tell if the things under $30 are, because, I mean, this happens every week. It's like a third to a fourth of our stuff is under $30. And I can't tell if it's stuff from the old days because we have such large inventory. Am I fooling it's myself and I'm still picking that stuff?
Right, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we tend not to buy that stuff anymore, but there are some things. I mean, it's like we've said before. You're just like, this little cool kitchen houseware thing, I can't pass it up. It's so neat, you know? It's worth $25 tops, but, you know, get 4 $25 sales in a day and you made $100. Yep. So you cannot get that stuff, in my opinion.
So if we compare that to 2014, so a year ago we sold 46 items and made about $2,000. So, you know, we made a little bit more last week. And I think I bring that up because someone was talking to me about this. You know, our store has grown.
Yes.
You know, but our sales do not exponentially grow.
Right.
With the amount we put in our store. And I think that kind of stopped at about when we hit about 2,000 items in our store. Like, we have 4,000 items in our store now.
Yeah.
It seemed like at about 2,000 items, up until then, we would list 100 items, we'd make more. Another 100 more. And it would kind of, our sales were exponentially growing. Then at about 2,000 items, it kind of leveled out. Now, we will have incredible weeks where, because we have a large inventory, we can sell a lot when people are hot and heavy.
Yeah.
And we can make $5,000.
Right.
But it's strange. It's not
consistent. It's not consistent. You're not like, well, now that we have 4,000, we make 5,000 every week.
And I know this is when, you know, some people, this is when they go into conspiracy theory mode and they're like, well, that's because eBay is doing a algorithm to their servers get too overloaded, so they do an algorithm and they flush out the old ones and even out all the sales over, so everyone has a little bit of sale, and you know it's like it doesn't make any sense at all. So I think it's just I think it's because we just sell a lot of weird stuff and just, you know,
it's just, you cannot be guaranteed what you're going to sell, how much it's going to sell for. Like last year, you gave the numbers for last year. We sold a designer purse for $300. I'm trying to remember what purse that was. Mm. But, you know, a $300 item to pad out your week is, like, pretty amazing.
And, like, this week, the highest dollar item was $150. So, you know, it was pretty a mellow week as far as we just kind of, like, average sales. Like, most of our items were, like we always say,
yeah,
like $30 to $50. Yep. Like that was, we sold about 20 items. It was just bread and butter. Those are the items that you can find all day long at yard sales and thrift stores for like a dollar. Like that's what it's normal. About for us.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, like we say, though, because we, you know, don't really have careers anymore, like this is what we do full time, that bulking up our inventory is the only control we have.
Yep.
Is like, and what, even though our sales aren't exponentially exploding as we put more stuff up, what it does is it just evens things out. So, like, we didn't list anything last week. We didn't list anything this week. And we aren't going to list anything this coming
week. Next week. Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to go 3 weeks without listing a single item. But I'm telling you, when we talk next week,
right?
I bet that we'll make
$1,500. $1,500,
you know?
Yeah.
And exactly. I don't know why. I mean, we have no control over that. It just happens.
Yeah,
because people are always buying stuff.
Yep.
You know?
And we have enough of a variety. I mean, we'll talk about what we sold this week.
And, you know, it's interesting when I, you know, I still kind of like, I watch the people that do Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon FBA, it's like, it seems
the whole
like,
thing,
it seems like everyone gets, you know, like everyone starts and they'll, I sell a little FBA, I sell a little eBay, and then it comes to a point where
you gotta choose one.
Make a choice. And some people join us, like we're the trash shelves.
Trash shelves versus FBA.
and then there are the people that sell on FBA, you know, and that's where it seems like your sales do go exponential the more you send in. But then it's a matter of, like, how do you bankroll that? So if you can spend $20,000 in inventory, maybe you can make $60,000 profit. You know, it's really about – it's a totally different ballgame.
It's a different game.
And, you know, so I'm not going to speak any more of that because I don't know from experience. I just know, like, I follow Ryan on online.
OnlineSellingExperiment.com.
It's great because he puts his numbers up every month and you can kind of see his, his numbers. It's very interesting. But again, when I think of my deathbed, it's just what I imagine.
Do you want a warehouse to sell on FBA?
Just doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
His deathbed, he's like so happy. He's dreaming of, like, FBA.
He's sleeping in a bed made of gold because he made so much money.
His corpse is now in FBA and, like,
that's weird. So let's talk about things we sold. We talked about
Okay. So we sold a vintage necklace.
Yes. So
this is all you.
Yes. So I have this vintage necklace of chunky, colorful, kind of like, it looked like lucite, it looked like celluloid, it looked like bakelite. I tested it, it wasn't bakelite, but it's got that, you know, vintage colorful look.
This is one of those things where I would have never have picked this out. I would have never have thought someone would pay that much for it, but but watching you go through this, I now see that women will pay a lot for nice costume jewelry. Yep. It doesn't have to be gold or silver. It
doesn't have to be marked. There's no marker. It's, I think someone handmade it.
Cool piece.
So I had it up for $199, and she asked me some questions about it, and then I took an offer of $150, and I was thrilled.
And the reason why this is interesting is, you know, we go to these auctions, and there'll always be a point in a lot of auctions where it's like, time to sell jewelry, and I'm like,
oh so boring.
It's going to be like a half hour. It's so boring.
But you know why it's boring?
And I could never understand why they would sell like a bag of costume jewelry and people would be paying
going
like
crazy
$200.
For it.
I'm like, it's just cheap junk. No,
it's not cheap junk. Some of it is cheap junk. But the other problem with when they sell jewelry at auctions is a lot of the, what do we call them? The metal hounds. Like they're going after the precious metals. I mean, they're like, it's sterling. And you're like, oh, God, it's just like a bidding war over sterling.
Sure, but
you know?
Even the bags where it's just like plastic junk, people are paying a lot of money for because
they'll find stuff.
They'll find bakelite.
They'll find stuff like that. Yeah. I've never done that, so.
But so anyway, we always learn, and so it's interesting. There's value in everything. It's really is incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. So $150 for that necklace.
And then we actually sold quite a few men's shirts.
Yeah,
this is the most boring thing in the world. But
for
those
you,
of
it
you
is.
That listen to us, you know, kind of late in the winter time, I spent 2 weeks photographing and listing myself.
Yes.
I was very proud of myself.
Yes.
All these men's shirts, like 150
You even listed them yourself. I listed them.
And, you know, they range from $20 to $50. And
yep.
This week we sold maybe like six of them.
Yeah.
And so again, it's like a little pipeline. It's just like a little shirt pipeline.
Every week,
I started.
A few of them sell.
I invested 2 weeks of my life, and now every week we sell a couple, and this week we sold six of them, and so we probably made almost $300.
Yeah,
and
just
so,
on shirts. It's amazing.
You know, it's taken 4 months for that to happen. There's still some shirts left.
A lot of shirts left. We had a lot. You listed a lot of shirts. Yeah. 250 shirts
but
or something.
That's a thing. Like, those piles, I know you have them right now.
Yeah.
There's a pile
in
your house.
Yep.
And that pile can become a pipeline, but I mean, I'm telling you, I know the mental agony. It was not fun of me going through those, but I did it. And
it was done.
Yep.
And they're in there and they're selling.
It's gonna buy us some Chinese food tonight.
Definitely.
Ooh,
buying some steamed dumplings.
Ooh.
Okay, so I sold a set of flatware.
I think you talked about that in a video, right?
Yeah, so the necklace and the flatware you'll see in the next video that I put up.
Yeah.
Did I put the flatware in the last one? Oh, I must have. The weeks are weird in my video. But the flatware was just a cool mid-century flatware. I think I paid at an estate sale $10 to $15 because I was like, these are awesome. It's a great set. It's over $96.
And it was funny because people in the comments on the video, they said that back in the day, they would give away like flatware like that if you opened
at,
up
like,
a bank account.
Or at a gas station or something like that. I don't know if that was the same pattern, but whatever it was, the pattern was amazing.
Yeah.
You just go watch the video because it was so cool. It was not marked by a company, but it did say Stainless Japan on it. So it was a high quality set. The other thing that sold that was a crazy high price was this cast aluminum mailbox. Just for putting your mail in.
This guy right here.
Yeah, you found it. But I put it up for $86 and got an offer of $75. It just looked like a junky mailbox.
It's such a cool, but it's got that cool style from like the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
You know, it sits there. It's got a thing for a newspaper can go.
It's
right
awesome.
There. Yeah.
I show it in the video so you guys can look at it. But that's the thing with stuff like that. If you do your research and you see, okay, people pay a lot of money for vintage mailboxes because they want the look.
Yep.
Because you can't buy a mailbox like that.
And, you know, it's so cool.
You know?
It kind of looks junky because it's kind of scratched up. But you know what? You just paint it.
You just paint it.
To go.
It would take 2 seconds
it's
to paint
metal,
it.
You know?
So you can buy things like that. But a lot of times at, like, you know, Restoration Hardware or whatever, things like that cost, like, $300, you know, so someone can get the look for cheaper, but it's a lot of money for me, you know, $75.
And then just everything else is sold. It was just a very, like, kind of just bread and butter week.
Yeah.
So really, it's nothing else that kind of stands out.
Yeah, nothing fancy.
So what we did this week, so like I said, we didn't list one item on eBay.
Not one.
What we did do, though, and I talked about it is last week of what we're going to do, and we did it. Was in our house. We had piles of stuff that had quickly accumulated.
Yes.
It was just like two big hauls, one auction and a couple of thrift store runs, and we had all these piles in our house.
Man.
And because we're having someone house sit, we wanted to get rid of all those piles. So this week, we took photos of a lot of stuff.
You know? Took a crap a load of photos.
I
did a lot of photos of artwork that was we had these piles, and those piles have been sitting there since the winter time. Like I had to brush dust off them.
So that's kind of one of the nice things that we do have, these kind of these traveling jobs.
Yes.
Is that it makes us kind of like it makes us take care of things we've been putting off.
Because someone's
like
staying at
clean
our house.
Clean slate, right.
So that helps a lot.
I think that's one thing, is that if we never went anywhere, our house would be like, you know, I'm sure other people have.
Yeah, stuff just sits
there. It's been
there
for a year.
No. So we also, you know, as we're talking, we are getting ready for this job in LA. That was something we were
doing. Emails with the client and, like, you know, you're doing all the...
Packing my tech
packing
stuff.
Packing all the tech stuff.
And the crappy thing was our internet went out for 2 days at our house. And it's so stupid. What happened was the plug for the modem just stopped working randomly.
Yeah, like it burnt out or something.
I get burnt out. I don't know. Because I am an electronics nerd. I figured out that the modem was fine. It was just the plug that died.
So it was like going through any piece of electronics we have in our house, checking to see if the plug would work. And you even like cut one plug up to like rewire it, and that didn't work.
Well, it half worked. It wasn't the right. All my electronics nerds. It wasn't the right amps. So it was the right voltage, not the right amps, but that was enough amps to know that the modem still worked because the lights came on. Anyway, so what we did was we used our you can use a hotspot on your phone to turn on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, or we can.
We can on the iPhone. I don't know. I think on Android you can probably do it. So that was a lifesaver because I had 2 days of eBay labels I had to print out. So
And that worked, right?
It worked great. Yep. Yeah, it worked great. It just, you know.
But it definitely, you know, it is so interesting, our life these days. I felt so
isolated. Because you didn't feel like you could do your full, like, internet experience. Right. Meaning, like, you don't want to kill your data.
I mean, I think, too, I just remember I realize how much I depend on it for music, for things we watch at night, just communicating with friends.
You know, like Skyping people. Yeah. You're like, I can't Skype over my phone data.
Like falling into like a Wikipedia hole. Just kind of like follow one. You know?
So now that we're at the hotel, we got Wi-Fi, and like we just spent the last hour just like catching up on like blog comments and, you know, my mom sent a bunch of photos. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just like crazy.
Yep. Okay, it's net to us is, you know, we're now going to make sure we have a backup modem because, you know, like like we have a backup printer.
Yep.
So, I mean, when we're doing a business, since all of our work now and the money we make depends on the internet, we need to have that.
Backup stuff. So I actually called the company that gives us our DSL, and they sent a new modem. So actually our house sitter right now is texting me like, how do I set up this modem? So now we'll have two modems. But anyway, that's the internet.
Cool. So right now we're sitting in a big hotel bed doing this podcast. And it really reminds me of like my hotel fantasy. I have this, I have this fantasy life.
Yep.
It's not even a real, I don't think it's anything I'd ever really want to do, I think it would bore me, but it's this fantasy of like, just like, it's like you have a credit card and you can just travel wherever you want, just stay in hotels, and you get bored in one hotel and you just go into another. You don't have to clean anything, like they do your laundry and you just go from one place to another.
That's like what rich people do.
I know.
Like, right? Actual rich people.
But it's like if I was a rich person, I don't know.
You would do that.
That fantasy is kind of, but then, you know, I'm like, that's boring.
You know what, though? Here's the deal. Whenever we've, like, done long jobs, like, at the end of this job, which is, like, next Friday, so it's, like, 7 days in a hotel. By the time 7 days comes, I'm like, get me out of here. I want a kitchen. I want a neighborhood that I can walk around. Like, right now, I'm looking outside. There's like all these corporate,
a corporate park.
Yeah, it's right across the street from the airport in Dulles, you know, and it's just like I feel like I'm in no man's deserted office park land. Yeah. It's so weird. I don't want to be here all the time.
I mean, that is one nice thing about us doing the jobs is we go away for 1 to 5 weeks and then we get home and it's just like, there's nothing more exciting than just like being home on eBay.
I'm telling you.
Making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I'm telling you, that's the feeling I had when we were leaving today, where I was like, I'm walking, you make fun of me because I walk around the yard like with my coffee and I look at like our gardens because we have a bunch of gardens. Like we've spent a lot of time and I'm seeing what's growing.
I'm
weeding. Yeah. I'm like planting my other garden on this other part of the land, you know? I'm like, what the hell? I have to leave? Like, I just want to hang out with my cats and like,
I find our life goes in like these stages and I feel like, it might be time for this new stage.
It might be. Anyway.
Okay, I don't know. That's
weird-ass tangents.
People are like, what?
They're like, what the hell's going on
it's
today?
It's like a therapy session.
Isn't it always a therapy session on this podcast?
So...
It's a rental property.
We'll briefly talk about this other... So, because we have this eBay business, we've been taking our eBay profits and investing them in another business, and that is we bought this farmhouse that's now a rental, a vacation
yes.
rental. So we talk about it every week. You know, so this past week, we've been getting a lot of landscaping done.
Yes.
And we mentioned this is last week. We've added about another half acre to our land.
Right.
Because we had these guys with, like, big bulldozers clear a bunch of bramble. And
right.
now it's beautiful.
It's amazing. It just...
And now we now have a stream that runs along the edge of the property. And it's before you couldn't really get to it because, again, it was like
just
all
bramble and rocks.
Junk.
And, yeah.
It's all clear. You can sit right next to the stream. And there's even like a little tiny short hop. And there's like a wading pool.
There's almost like a swimming hole.
A natural swimming hole where
yeah.
when it's hot, you could like jump in and it's... It's quiet. There's no one around.
It's very
it's
cool.
really amazing. So
yeah,
that was a neat.
I mean, it's like it was land that we own, but you couldn't really tell that it was part of the yard.
Yeah.
Like it just looked like a junky.
I feel like a developer.
Yeah,
know?
I know.
Like, that's what you do. So, and the good thing is we can write it all off on our taxes because
yeah,
because
that's for the business,
improving the business.
Exactly.
So that was good. But so this week we were booking 4 nights, so 7 nights in the week, and so we book 4 nights.
Hey, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
And so now that we're gone, there's currently someone in the rental right now that we can't, you know, deal with. So our friend
yes.
is managing them while we're gone.
And that is something we did this week was we quote unquote trained him.
Yep.
No,
I mean, there's no quote-unquote.
No.
We actually trained him.
We actually did train him.
Yeah.
I say quote because he's run other, like,
yeah.
B&Bs.
He's
worked at
guy.
Hotels, whatever.
Right.
He gets it. So you're not, like, explaining
right.
the basics. But it's a different rental. Like, he doesn't know how we do it. So
yeah.
that was a bit of a job.
And, you know, and that's the interesting thing. I mean, you know, we could get a lock for the door that we could control online. They're
yes.
like internet locks.
Yeah.
Where you can just change the code, then you email the code to the person that's gonna rent, they
right.
let themselves in, they have their experience, then when they leave, we would just hire people to go and clean it. I mean, we could do that, but I think for us it's important that the people that rent don't feel that it's just like a hotel.
Right.
And also, I notice that people who comment on the blog, because as we say Airbnb, that's the...
Right, that's the website.
Yeah, Airbnb.com. But it's not a B&B, you know?
Right.
I mean, a bed and breakfast is something totally... It's different. That's where, like, if you stay in a person's home and they, like, cook you breakfast.
Right.
And there's,
and
like,
a lot of
TV
people do that.
With an old man.
A lot of people...
You know.
A TV with an old man. A lot of people do that, and a lot of people on Airbnb
right.
do that.
This is
we
like,
don't do that.
This is, like, the difference between... It's not, like, just a faceless hotel.
Right.
It's not, like, this really complicated, hands-on, you know, bed and breakfast.
Right.
It's a place that we rent to people, but we like to meet them. And so because
yeah.
we can't meet them, our friend is going to meet them. So I
right.
think what's important is that we're building another mom and pop business. And, you know, we did a whole podcast on this.
Yep.
Like, I am in love with the idea of having businesses that are mom and pop businesses, where you go there and it's got personality, and it's the personality of the two people
who made it.
Who is run this thing.
Now,
and then that makes you feel good about it.
It makes you feel like, to me, it feels more special.
Right.
And what we found is, you know, a lot of people are like, don't people make a huge mess? And the last people that were there stripped the beds and did the laundry. I'm not joking. They did it for us. We were,
right.
I mean, they didn't do all of it because there's a ton of it. But I was like, where else do you get that? Where
right.
someone's like, They had such a nice time, and they liked us so much, they, like, started cleaning for
yeah.
us.
And,
you know,
I feel, too, it gives people, like, a story, because it's much more interesting, like, oh, I stayed in this Holiday Inn. No, I stayed in this house, and there's this story, and there are these people, and
we want to go there again, hopefully.
But at the same time, it's not a bed and breakfast where, like, we had our own room, but then we had to go downstairs, and we shared a bathroom with the owners, and, you know, it's different, you right. know, it's still, like, it was our own place, and we could, like, walk around in our underwear.
You know, right, like, it's just more private.
But it's like eBay in the sense of, you know, sometimes we'll get someone that, like, buy something from us and they write us an angry email, they're angry at something, but then we remind them.
We're just people.
We're just two people that run the store. We're happy to help you. And that changes the whole tone.
Right.
And then they start to communicate to us like we're like a mom and pop shop.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just like another, because I think that's why a lot of buyers on eBay get angry, because they just assume they're going to be dealing with a faceless, like,
right.
Anonymous corporation, and they're going to be run through the gauntlet.
Right, exactly. Which we've all had that experience right. at some point.
So anyway, yeah, our friend is going to be taking care of it. We're going to pay him 20% of our profit. And, you know, we hope that feels generous to him. And I think it is.
Well,
because we want him to be happy, you know?
Yeah,
worth his time.
So there's two parts of it, too. Like, at first, I'm like, well, we should just block those days off and, you know, not do anything, because then we don't have to pay someone, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, we have a hard time justifying that for eBay, too. But then I'm like, wait a second. If we were to block those days off, we wouldn't be making any money.
Right.
So if we're here in a hotel somewhere, right. you know, and he's running it, he's making money, we're making money, that's money we couldn't have made otherwise.
And, you know, and plus, instead of like saying, oh, we'll just pay him 10 bucks an hour, no. We need to make sure.
Yes.
Because
he's invested.
I would want to be treated that way. You know?
Right.
I would want to be treated where, you know, I'm being paid well, so I'd be excited about doing it again.
Exactly.
You know? So that's how we're doing it. People this week.
Yeah, lots of people.
It seems like 18 different people have, in one way or another, mentioned or introduced that article
about
that couple in Toronto or
are
Canada?
They're somewhere in Canada.
And their house got torn apart. They had it on Airbnb.com where we rented. Their house got torn apart. Like, there's
trash.
Even a video of it where, like, people are throwing up on the couch and just...
I mean, trashed. Like, think of a house that's trashed. This place was trashed.
And, you know, people are like, have you seen this? I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's not the first time. Like, Airbnb has been around since 2008, and these stories pop up, and, you know, we all love to talk about it because it's insane. And I think the one thing that people don't mention is that, like, Airbnb is going to make them whole.
Yeah.
Because there's actually a free insurance policy through it.
Through, like, Airbnb, for this purpose.
You're supposed to have your own insurance, but in these extreme cases, Airbnb will come and make you whole. Because they don't like this bad publicity.
Right.
So.
And what the publicity they want is them fixing the problem. Yeah. So they are going to fix the problem, which is great.
I think the other thing, too, is I always think of it as, like, people like, well, you know, aren't you afraid that might happen to you? I'm like, you know, I'm about to hop on a plane tomorrow. Planes crash, but I'm not going to stop flying because that rare instance where a problem happens.
Basically, if you're just going to, like, live in fear of the worst case scenario, like, people say that about eBay all the time. I've heard this from other people, too. Aren't you afraid that people are going to scam you? Aren't you afraid they're going to steal your identity if you do banking online?
Yeah,
of course I am. Mm-hmm. That stuff's never happened to me through eBay.
Yeah, I think it's all about you balancing risks, you know?
Sure.
And so we have insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing is people were mentioning, like, we should get, like, put cameras on the property.
In the house. I'm like, you've got to be joking me.
Yeah, that's...
Where would you stay? Like, oh, BTW, guess... We've got webcams and everything. Right. Like, what?
That's when they sue you for sleeping on.
That's crazy.
And, you know, and again, it's, you know, that story where whoever, like, trashed the house, it doesn't make sense to me because those people, they're identified. I mean, when you rent, you have to show your ID and
your contact info, your phone number.
So to me, it's just like, spoiled crazy kids who are going to get, you know, they're going to be in a lot of trouble for this.
Yeah, that's what's so funny. You're like, we know who you are. Actually, what's funny is the hosts came home and the people were still in their house. It's not like they had ran away. They're like, you guys are still here? We're calling the cops. Like, it just, you're like, these people must have been really stupid. So anyway.
Okay, so let's get back to eBay. So customer issues we had this week.
So this is not actually a customer issue, but this happened this morning. I was a little perplexed. I didn't know what was happening, but this guy bought two shirts. He's in London. And so why it didn't go through global shipping. It was automatically first class international going to London, which isn't a big deal. I'm like, okay, I'll ship something to England. You know, it's no big deal. There's tracking. There's I can do insurance on it, whatever. So my question is, has anyone else noticed that? Was it because they put two items in a cart and then bought it through the cart and that took off global shipping? Mm. Or what happened? Because I have global shipping on all my clothes. And UK is covered. So I don't know if anyone else noticed that weirdness, but that was the only kind of issue I had where I'm like, what? That's odd.
That is weird. Well,
yeah, I have no idea.
That is interesting. I mean, other than that, we've had a very quiet week as far as customers. We have two people who are just returning something. They're paying for everything.
Because it doesn't fit. It just shoes fit and a hat.
And we talked about it last week. We sold like a vintage chef's knife to someone in Oman.
And he got it.
In the Middle East, he got it.
And he left us positive feedback. And hooray!
And he was like, do you have any more? I mean,
yeah.
To me, that's, I think people glaze over, like, oh yeah, big deal. I'm like, we sold something to someone on the other side of the world in a country that we don't really have a lot of communication with, but we did this really easy transaction. He paid a lot of money, and it was all good. It's
It was great. It was amazing.
It's very interesting. Like, I mean, we forget, like, that's, you know, I had to go through all these hands, post office and custom agents, and then on the other side, some guy on, like, a motorbike had to take it to the guy's house. And
well, and what's funny, too, is I shipped it, obviously Oman is not covered on global shipping. I shipped it USPS Priority, and you know what? There was tracking the whole way there. I saw when it got into his country. I saw when it got delivered. What? That's amazing. It was incredible. So, hooray for that.
So, a bit of news this week. You know, last week I was talking about how there is a thing in America, especially, where people like to brag about how much they work.
Yes.
Like, it seems like it's a point of honor to say, oh, I work, you know, 80 hours a week. Like, you know, I haven't taken medication in 5 years. You know, that's a point of honor because it means that you're a worker and hard work is good. I agree with. But it seems like a little bit crazy. It's almost like I have no life. I don't think that's something to be proud of. But I found this article in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. They said that there's a certain percentage of, especially men, who say they work 80 hours a week. They're lying.
And they're like,
and,
what's the percentage? Do they have the percentage?
I'm going to link. It's like 30% or something, but I'm going to link to the article on the blog. It's just interesting. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just like people feel they have to say that, especially it's mainly they're doing a survey of men that work corporate jobs and especially in financial firms where like they're expected to stay, you know, all night long. And so the guys, when it's anonymously they can speak, they're like, yeah, I say that, but really I take a big chunk in the middle of my day to be with my kid or, you know, I get off early when I say I don't so I can go to my kid's soccer game. And it's good. It's like these men are trying to, like, have actual lives, but they can't say that they're having those lives. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's so because in the American cliche of workers, like, you can't be lazy.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like, oh, I got to work at 10.
I feel that's why.
I did nothing and I left at 3.
I feel that's why I could never, I don't want to ever deal with having to hire someone, like, have a permanent hiring job of somebody, because I feel like I would naturally kick into that, like, okay, I'm paying this guy by the hour.
You better be working.
I hope he's working. That's like, is he really maximizing his time? Like, I saw him, like, you know, I saw him drink a cup of coffee for, like, 10 minutes and didn't do anything. I just feel like I would be the worst boss.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get involved in that.
Yep.
So the next thing was,
there was an email that was sent out to people, and there is a video with Griff And he is talking about different things, right? And
yeah, so it's kind of interesting. It's a video for brand new people, it seems like it's aimed at.
Yeah.
And it's like he's answering its question, do I put my item on auction or fixed price?
Mm.
So he has several items and he goes through, and it's kind of good. He goes through, he shows you how he will research each item and see it's what they sell for. And then it tells you by how much things sell for and how much competition there is, whether it will sell better in auction or fixed price. I mean, we totally don't follow any of his advice because we only do it by it now.
Yeah.
But, it was good to see he's showing people that's exactly how we research things. You know,
right.
We just go
right.
through sold items on eBay and you just look
I'm
and
telling
you, just
you
pick a price.
Like,
there you go.
Sold items. Like, the fact that you can search sold items on eBay is, like, magic.
Yeah.
You can't... Well, people would say it's a little bit different on Amazon because you look at search ranking, whatever. You can't do it on Amazon. You can't do it on Etsy. I look on places like Ruby Lane. Can't do it there. Like, you kind of can do it on Etsy, but it's on a one-by-one basis. But I really think the sold listings on eBay is incredible.
I mean, that really would... That makes... The whole site, you know.
I mean, I couldn't run my business without researching sold
yeah.
items. That's
Plus,
for sure.
I just love Griff. I mean, he's such a goofy guy, but he's so like, he's just so pro eBay. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's employee number six at eBay. Of course, he is.
And just how he deals with all the people.
He's like, great at dealing with people. That is for certain.
Okay, things we learned in the comments this week.
Yes.
There was an anonymous person that came on, totally cool, we don't mind people in that, and she was like, okay, I bought it. Do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, so actually it's funny you said it was a she. For some reason I thought it was a guy. I don't know why, but it's just anonymous user. They said that they bought a dress for 99 cents. It was a high-end designer. Apparently a rare designer dress.
They couldn't find any other, you know, so they were smart. They went to sold items. They couldn't find anything that it sold because it's a rare designer. So they thought, I'll put it on auction because it's rare. And that's what Griff says. He's like, if no one else has it, put it on auction because it means, like, you know, it might sell for a lot.
Yeah, so, but nobody bid on it. Nobody bid on it. And then the end of the auction, someone sniped it. I guess she had it starting at
$69. And
sold for her $69.
Opening bid. Yep.
One thing I would love to know is who was the designer.
Yeah.
But that's kind of an issue. Someone else was saying, a lot of people responded to
this
person.
Well, I mean, and so her question was, well, I wanted to sell for a lot more. So this person that bought it, they buy a lot of these designer things. I'm afraid this person is going to
resell it for a lot of money.
For more, and I've just, like, screwed myself. So should I just cancel the sale and then resell it at a higher price? And, you know, everyone was good.
It's tough.
It's like you got to go through with it. You took a gamble.
You did it.
You can say if you lost is maybe it would have sold more. But really, like everyone said, if you bought it for 99 cents and sold it for $69,
you made a great profit.
You did good, and you have to. It's like you have to be honest.
No, I mean,
you know?
I've had those items. I've had those items where I'm like, I can't believe it sold for the opening bid.
Yeah.
It was worth so much more. Well, why the hell did you put it on auction?
I think of we had a Bakelite
bracelet. Oh, don't even.
It was so awesome. And we were like, because we had done an auction once.
Yes.
And it sold for like $1,200. We were like, okay, let's do it again. It sold for $75.
Oh, it was less than that. It was less than that. It was like $55. And I'm not talking about a Bakelite. This is like serious, like Bakelite prayer beads. Like, look those up. You see how much they sell for? It's a lot of money.
And we were like, okay, maybe we just don't sell it. You know, we lost it or something. But you know what?
I was like, no, I have to go.
And you know what? And that's just why, like, we don't do well with auctions. We have had very few auctions that people, you know, always talk about, like,
yeah,
I put it up and it went crazy and it sold for $5 million.
Yeah, it's so rare.
That doesn't happen to us. Most of our auctions go up a little bit, and that's why we're like,
just put a high price. So, like, someone had suggested,
Steve did, yeah.
Yeah, Steve suggested to this person, look, I would have put it at $599 best offer. and see what happens.
Yep.
Lower the price in a month, take a lower offer. You know, if you get a bunch of like $100 offers, whatever, you know, you had the chance to put it up high, or your correct seller who's not looking this week when it's only a 7-day auction
right.
is going to come along and say, oh, $500, that's a great price.
Yeah. And you so know? That will never happen to
you. You'll never do it again.
So it's really like, it is a good way to think about it. What we're talking about is the opposite of an auction, where you yeah. start at the highest price and then let people work it your way down.
Right.
You know? And so it's maybe I'll take $300, but I don't have to take $300.
Right.
But at the auction, I want $500, but then you get forced at $69. Like, that's not a good experience.
Yeah, that's tough.
Someone wrote us, so we always, you know, say names wrong. And
yeah.
I should just not be a lazy person. We always say Etienne Ogner because
Etienne Ogner.
And someone said Agnier.
It's Agnier. Yeah. And I always forget. And the problem
Agnier.
Is, I sell a lot of her stuff, shoes, purses, mm-hmm. belt.
So thank you for the person that wrote us.
Etienne Agnier.
And
thank you.
It's cool on the blog. We're getting people starting to just post on the blog, just excited about things that they found
yes.
and things that they sold. And I like it because that's kind of like what the community is about. It's about like with trash shelves and people are like out finding really interesting items. And it's
yeah.
really been fun. And I'm like, wow, people are finding
cool stuff
that we're finding. Like, that's incredible.
I wouldn't say it like that. Everybody mm-hmm. finds cool, weird stuff,
yep.
and everyone gets a little jealous.
Well,
I want to find that.
I guess I feel for a while we were the ones that always like, look at this cool thing, and people are like, wow, I never thought that you could sell something like this. Now it's like people are like going way
beyond.
And
I'm like, holy.
Like,
moly.
I had this guy email me today.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he would post it on the blog. He went to a yard sale and he bought a copper tub for, I think, $225, and he sent me a photo of it. I mean,
what?
It's like one of those tubs that's probably he could sell for $2,000.
Is it a bathtub?
Yeah, like a copper bathtub.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Incredible.
I bet he could. No, seriously, he needs to do some research because those can sell for a lot,
yep.
a lot of money. Can you send me that photo?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. That's
absolutely.
Like, yeah, that's the kind of find where I
yeah.
hear what you're saying, where you're like, oh, I so wish I had found
I
that.
I mean, it's like the guy, he posted on the blog, he had mentioned it, I don't know, six months ago, he went to an auction or a sale, and he bought these, like, conveyor belt things.
Yes, yes.
You know, the things that would go in like a shipping department.
Right.
You can roll them around. And
yeah.
he bought them for like $50 each. He had like three of them. And he finally sold them. And I think he
made like $2,000 or
a
something.
A lot of money. And it was great. And again, it's like
it's
one
so
of those things.
Good.
Where I'm glad people are understanding, like, you don't have to stick with just clothes. Like, some of the big sales are things that are a little bit of a pain in the ass to
right.
haul around.
But that's why you get them cheap, because no one else, everyone's like, oh, I don't want to deal with that thing.
And then if you're
you know?
Willing to sit on it, you know, it might take you 6 months, but man, you make $2,000+.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's also cool to see. Yeah, people are going to a lot of yard sales, and that's cool. A couple people has mentioned this, but Steve seems like the one that does this a lot. Steve
yes,
Schultz.
He does this. It's great technique.
That happens all the time. I've never done this before.
I know.
Did you go up to a yard sale? Okay, that's cool. I'll buy this. Do you have anything else? And the guy will be like, yeah, I got this stuff on my attic.
It's so funny.
And
you're
it seems
like
he'll bring down like speakers and then Steve's buys. I'm just like, that's so interesting. I should just try that.
I've
you know?
Never, you know, it's funny because we went to that one yard sale. We pulled over, I think it was yesterday. And we were like, oh, we found a couple things. But they had a lot of stuff and nothing to buy. And we could have just been like, do you have anything else that you didn't feel like calling out here?
I feel like that doesn't. That's not the right way to go about it, because that seems like kind of like insulting. Like, do you have anything else?
Yeah.
Or the answer is like, I mean, this is what
this
I'm selling.
This is what I
right?
have. Or
so
I guess, well, he maybe he's more specific. Like,
Do you have
any more electronic? I'm looking for stereo equipment. Yeah. Do you have anything else that you're willing to sell? I mean,
musical instruments or
something. You know, if I'm like, I love these shoes. Do you have any more shoes in this size? I don't know. Sure, I'll go in my closet. I've always
wanted as a challenge to try and buy the shoes off someone's feet. Because sometimes I'll see that.
I see these
old guys with these like awesome Red Wing boots like those Irish setter boots.
Yes.
Where I'm like,
I will buy those I'll off buy your those feet.
For $50.
I went to an auction. We went to an auction one time, and one of our arch nemesis ladies that we always bid against, she had this drives me crazy to this day. She had chunky butterscotch Bakelite necklace, bracelet, and earrings. She's an antique dealer, so clearly she knows what they are. But I was like, I so wanted to be like, please let me buy that off of you. Like, I will pay you lots of money, but I don't think she would have gone for it. But that's the type of thing that I would love to do one day. Like, yeah. I love that necklace. How much do you want for it? I will buy it for you.
I'll buy you right now.
Here right
you
go. Now. How much?
Okay, so this coming week for us is, we're going to LA tomorrow.
Yes.
Flying on a plane. Always slightly stressful. But, it's a client, as we know, they know us.
We like them.
It's kind of like an old, comfortable job.
Yes.
And honestly, again, it is nice, and I can see why people get attracted to these kind of, this a lifestyle. We're on an expense account, or like on a per
diem. We have a per diem,
So it's nice. You get to go to, like, nice restaurants. And
And when we say nice restaurants, like, for us, we're going to go get like Chinese takeout tonight. But, it's just funny because we are not normally like, we're so frugal. We're so cheap. Right.
Just where you can go somewhere and spend like $40 each.
Right.
On a meal. And we don't do that normally.
Never.
And it feels really...
We had lunch.
It's like fun.
We brought our friend out to lunch the other day. There was three of us and we had a meal and then we had like milkshakes and it was like a big deal. And it was $40. And we were like, whoa, that is crazy. So, to spend $40
each. We just like blew our budget. Yeah.
It's just like, what? So funny.
And then after that, we're going to spend three nights in San Diego we're going to go visit your aunt and uncle.
My aunt and uncle live in San Diego.
And we rented a little beach cottage on Airbnb.
Yeah. So we are now renters.
And it was cheap. It was $70 a night or something.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm like the cheapest renter. So I'm like, I want a place, two blocks from the beach that's under $100 a night. Yeah. And I actually found it. Yep. So.
And we got the whole house.
Yeah, it's so the whole it's apartment. It's not
like we're in someone's room. And it's like, that's great. And you're in a neighborhood rather than like, I don't think you can get a hotel room that cheap.
But it's so funny because you were just saying a minute ago, like, your hotel fantasy. And I'm like, I would so much rather like stay in someone's like cool little bungalow.
Well, the hotel fantasy is about like know a limit. So it's like I'm staying at Holiday Inn.
So it is a fantasy.
Yeah, of course. It's like staying in like a nice hotel where you go down to like the restaurant and just order anything, like have a steak.
Yeah, that's a whole other like.
I think the hotel fantasy is like know where.
You don't think about money.
I'm never thinking about a budget. About money, I'm never being frugal.
Those are rich people. Yeah, exactly. That's the rich people fantasy.
And so we will be podcasting this whole time, or we'll be posting these as much as we can.
On the road.
But we will not be checking the blog quite as often. We will be working. Doing it on our phone, but please behave yourself on the blog. And
please behave yourself. I like how Jay says that, because Jay's like the one with the whip on the blog, because
No,
I think what's great is I love that you respond to almost every comment.
Yep.
That's quite admirable. Okay, so now let's answer some questions from voicemails. So you can call us on this phone number, 540-407-8486. And we do not pick up the phone. It is just a voicemail number, and you have 3 minutes to leave a message.
And we're happy to take any questions, although we're not experts on eBay, but we're happy to share our opinion. Or you can comment on something someone else said.
Yes. Okay, first voicemail.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Ryan. My name is Mike, and I'm from Fremont, California. And I have a question for you. my wife and I are doing eBay and some Amazon, and we were starting to try to think about the tax implications since it's starting to really take off and do pretty well. And so I subscribed to the GoDaddy bookkeeping service, and then for the mileage and that type of thing, I just started a spreadsheet for that. But I was wondering how you guys go about, like, recording your time as far as labor to list and ship and all that type of thing. I'm still kind of new to the GoDaddy thing, and I think it might do some of that stuff, but I was just wondering how you guys go about doing it. Anyways, thanks a lot. I love your podcast and your videos, and thanks for all your tips and your hard work. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
So we always like to preface, as always, that we are not tax experts. You know, if this is becoming your business, we encourage you to get an accountant, you know.
Yes.
And not like an HR Block. Find, you know, a local accountant. Normally, they're small business people, too. And so they'll understand what you're trying to do. As far as I know, you cannot deduct your time. You can, you know, create like an LLC, or there's a function where you can pay yourself a salary, but that's much different from deducting that from your taxes.
So we do not keep track of our time. Now, if you're doing freelance work for people and invoicing them, that's when we keep track of our time. But since we are working for ourselves, you know, we are not deducting that and not.
Just so it's clear, we have a general partnership. You know, that's like the legal status that we've made for our business. And so our business makes all this, it's money. And then at the end of the year, we split it between us two.
After expenses.
After expenses. And then we pay taxes
on that. Yes.
Now, some people, again, they've emailed me and I've read about, you can actually make a business entity like an LLC, and there's other kinds of things.
Sure.
And to us, that seems more complicated than it needs to be. But again, if you get an accountant, you guys can set up, it's whatever it you feel comfortable with, you know?
Hello, scavengers. This is Armando Sueños with all these questions. One of them is how tempting is for you guys now working more often with auction listings now that eBay have them as no listing fees if the item sells? And also, the other question is what is your analysis regarding all these changes? And why do you think eBay is working on this direction? So once again, thank you for sharing all your information, and I hope you can answer me these questions. Have a good day. Bye.
Cool. So I think Armando is talking about the spring updates.
Yes.
eBay does this twice a year. They put out changes. They're always tweaking their model.
Yes, and I believe that the no listing fee, if something sells, happens only for auctions.
Right, exactly.
So it's not for fixed price, which people are getting such low listing fees for fixed price if they have a store anyway. But as we've said in the past, we think that they are moving towards a model of having no listing fees. I don't know if that's going to happen. I just think, you know, the listing fees are so low anyway, they make their money on final value fees.
Right.
So why even, you know, you should want to entice people to list for no money.
And the way that they always structure these things is, I feel like they're always trying to give you a little bit, but then they make sure they cover themselves in the end. So, you know, maybe you don't pay if your auction sells, but then they're really trying to encourage you to sell cheap, or they're hoping you're going to list a bunch more, and then they aren't going to sell, and then you're going to make then you're going to make some.
I mean,
it's money.
Either way, eBay is going to make their money. And that's fine.
I don't really read a whole lot into it. I just think they're always trying to just kind of, you know, tweak things just so. Because they deal in such its volume. I think that they do all these, its numbers, and they're like, if we make this one change where, you know, there's 2 cents happening here and there, at the end, we're going to make $100 million.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they do it.
Yep.
Hey guys, Len from Wisconsin. Last time I called, my message was cut off, so hopefully I get it all out this time. But I really just want to call and vent because I work a job that I hate, and it makes me miserable, and it pulls me away from my family. And I listen to your podcast, and I hear what you guys are doing in your lifestyle, and I totally covet that. And it's what I'm working toward. You know, we're only selling like 50 items a month for about $1,000 a month, and we are listing like crazy, working towards being to the point where we can scavenge full time, because every time we're out garage sailing or at flea markets, I do it with my family and we have so much fun. And my wife is really nervous, but I'm like, honey, this could be our life every day. And it stresses her out. So, I mean, how long did it take you guys to, you know, not lose sleep at night when you went from working to scavenging full time? I'm just really interested. I love your guys' podcast. I am totally jealous of you guys, and I just keep doing what you're doing. You're really an encouragement to me.
Okay, so that is a very nice call.
I mean, that call basically encapsulates everything we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast. So just like, why we do this, and, you know, I bet he makes, you know, he must make okay money
right
now, pays for everything.
Yeah.
But then can you, you know, I wonder, it's so hard to imagine, you know, his voice, I can hear it. Him and his wife, they're worried. Like, how could they give up the job and the security for being full-time trash elves?
Well, like, for us, I mean, to be perfectly honest, we were doing a lot of video work at the same time that we were transitioning to eBay. So it was, you know, full-time eBay and full-time editing for me.
And, you know, I see people on the blog say the same thing. You know, they're like, you know, try and find a way to possibly, like, instead of being full-time at your job, try and do part-time.
And start ramping up the other,
but the key is, whatever time it you take away from your that secure job, make sure you put all those hours back into eBay. You know?
Right.
Like, that's the thing I think some people forget is, like, you have to work just as hard, if not harder.
Right.
You know,
because, like, the responsibility is all on you. It's not just going to work.
Because,
you know?
I love that he says that him and his whole family, they go scavenging. Right. I mean, that is a fun thing to do.
Yep.
But again, though, the parts that isn't fun, you still have to do. And that's when you're at home and your kids don't want to help you list and they don't want to help you pack. I mean, that's when you have to, like, that's your job.
Right, exactly.
But it's pretty amazing. I mean, he says that they're making $1,000 a month already.
That's incredible.
So
what Jay always says is, how much do you need every month to cover your bills plus whatever?
Yep.
And, you know, what work do you have to do to get that up? I mean, $1,000 a month, you know, that's nothing to laugh at there.
That's amazing. I mean, that's often a lot of people's mortgage payment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
For us, it was $2,000.
That's
how much
we
needed
minimum
before we could kind of sleep well. And it took us 6 months to get to that point. We see a lot of people do that. It's faster.
Now, that's 6 months of us deciding to be full-time. That's not, like, from the beginning. Because we were really, you know, small time in the beginning.
Yep, kind of hobbyist.
For a while.
Like, hobbyist, because we had no inkling that this could actually be full-time.
So,
but I mean, the good thing is that I can hear in his voice that he loves doing this. And, you know, you got to have that dream, you know. You have to imagine, like, I don't work anymore. I don't, you know, have a business card anymore. I'm just scavenging, making a living. And if that's exciting to you, then that's really half the battle right there.
And you mean you don't work anymore, meaning I don't work for someone else in an office and commute, you know, for an hour. You will be doing work.
But, you know, we have talked about how we work together and, you know, that is one thing with his wife. I mean, what I would do is just, you got to start talking about it, you know, like start having those conversations and, you know, figure out what she's afraid of, which right. is probably we won't have dental, right. we won't have a medical. Well, then try and solve that. Well,
yeah.
if you go to healthcare.org,
.gov,
and you type in, you know,
yep.
however much as you think you're going to make, it spits out a number of what you pay for insurance,
right.
you know, and that may solve that problem.
Yep. You know? Yeah, I think it's smart to talk through the worries because that's what we do.
And, you know, the other thing might be like, well, you know, I want to make sure we have like 2 months of rent or
right, or mortgage. Or,
yeah, and then so then do some overtime, get that, and then do it.
Right, know? Exactly. But as you've seen with us and our crazy life, it is possible.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's for us, eBay is just a piece of a whole. You know, we were now talking about this rental we have, and I was just talking to you about this with that.
Yeah.
It's only been in the past, since March, since we started to rent this thing, and we had this other income stream. So we had this other bank account, and I look at it, I'm like, we have now two bank accounts where,
two business bank
money
accounts.
Is coming in. Because, you know, we yeah. just, you know, it was, we talked about this. It was like a 3-year ordeal to get this place going, but now it feels really good. This is probably the first time in 5 years where I've been sleeping.
Oh, really well.
Totally sound.
Oh, my God.
Because,
it's great. Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, not worries, but, you know, you're thinking about, you know, doing the work for eBay, doing the work for the rental. Obviously, we're out on a job right now. You know, right. you're juggling these things, making sure you're doing well at all of them.
But you know, our you know, because we're further down the line than,
right.
than this guy, Len. I mean, you know, our challenge now is like, well, what do we want to do now? Like, what do we want to challenge ourselves with?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and these are exciting things. So I always try to remind people who are starting out, it's like this, is that, you know, this part where you're just worried about paying at your bills goes away if
right.
you stick to
if,
it.
Yes.
And then
you've covered
not,
that.
Right. And then it's not like you're worried anymore. Now you're just like pushing it yourself because you have a business and, you know, who wants to be stagnant, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's the exciting thing.
Yeah, well, and that's the exciting thing of having that freedom is
right.
you don't have your job and your commute and, you know, you have to be there. You're like, oh, we're doing really well at this and we're kind of like making it happen. So what do we want to do now? Like, what's the next step? What's the next cool thing
right.
we want to do?
But this happens because we're always talking about it.
Yeah,
you
much
know?
To
and
my
I,
chagrin
I know,
sometimes.
Right? Sometimes
like,
I talk
I
about it too much,
about
but, you know,
anymore.
I just love – because when I start thinking about the intricacies of, like, a problem
– yeah.
of, and I always call it, it's a resource management problem.
Yes.
You know, it's a challenge. Like, you only have so many resources that, and all of this stuff has to get done, and it can get done. You just have to figure out a certain way, a process. I love talking about that stuff. You know?
You also play video games that do
yes,
the same thing.
I
like,
play a little tiny games on my iPad where it's, you know, and those people that
I'm like,
these,
that does not look relaxing to me.
They
at
are
all.
They are very stressful games because, you know, if you don't do it right, you know, everything just,
everything crumbles.
Yeah.
yeah.
A rat will bite you, you know.
The zombie will yeah. eat you, and
but those are really good games to teach me. Like,
yeah, no,
it's
I'm
educational,
glad.
Ryan. It's educational.
Remember that one. because I always just see you on the couch just like I'm like packing and shipping and like bringing these boxes in and I look over at you like, on the couch on your iPad. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm joking.
It's all right.
No, but
it's
I love
true.
That you're like, I'm learning. I'm teaching
myself. I'm teaching myself. No, you're not.
You're just playing a game. Oh, true. Man. But anyway. That was a great call. That's our final call. We only
yeah.
have, unfortunately, we only have 3 voicemails because we're recording this a little bit early, so.
Yep. But, you know, this was a slow week, but if you've ever wanted to ever call us, you know, Now would be a good time.
Yes, 540-407-8486, and you can see that phone number on the blog as well.
Okay, so that's going to be it. It's this week. We are now in sunny LA, actually.
Actually, it's kind of cloudy right now. Yeah. But, yes, between the time we started this podcast and ending it, we've gone from the East Coast to the West Coast.
And we've gone from one hotel room
to another. And it looks exactly the same as the other
hotel room. And so my, like, hotel fantasy is, like, actually really boring, so.
And nice cha-ching before we end.
All right, so that's it for It's This Week. We put this out every Sunday night, Monday morning, you know, to help you hopefully work, get your day started.
Get your week started.
This week we will not be doing a What's Sold video, but we will be posting an interview.
Yes, we
this week.
I edited an interview on the plane, so it is ready to go for Wednesday, and it's a great interview.
Yep. So we'll keep putting things out there, and we'll be checking the blog as well. But, you know, again, please behave yourselves there. Okay.
This podcast is ending in 3, 2, 1.